Spring is my favorite time to start a new workout routine. With the weather warming up, it feels easier to get into the rhythm of things. Whether you have 20 minutes or an hour for a Pilates class or outdoor guided walk, Peloton has everything you need to help you get going. Get a head start on summer with Peloton at onepeloton.com.
Hey folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Welcome to Democracy-ish. I'm Danielle Moody.
And I'm Wajahat Ali, otherwise known as none of the other candidates. Too soon?
I mean, no, it's not. It's never too soon to diss Nimrata, a.k.a. Nikki Haley. So tell the folks, Waj, what happened to Nikki? Because Nikki Haley clearly doesn't think that Nevada matters as a state, but please tell people what happened to her there.
So our favorite South Asian sister running for president as a Republican, Nikki Haley, born Nimrata to South Asian immigrant parents who grew up in South Carolina as a result of the Immigration Nationality Act, passed on the backs and heels of the Civil Rights Act, which allowed her father to be an educator at a historically black college. That Nikki Haley. Faced no major challengers earlier this week, specifically Tuesday, in Nevada's presidential primary. Let me repeat, she faced no major challengers, including Trump. Yet, Danielle, she still lost. 60% of the voters went for, and I'm not making this up, quote, none of these candidates. And there you have it. And let's just enjoy it for a second. None of these candidates beat Nikki Haley.
None of these candidates beat Nikki Haley. It is indeed impossible to lose to no one. Like, that's how much
and yet she did.
The Republican Party doesn't want to mess with Nikki Haley is that she lost to no one.
No, she did lose to none of these candidates.
Yeah. To none of these candidates, literally.
No, Danielle, but she did lose to none of these candidates. It's like an Abbott and Costello routine. We could just keep going for the next 5 minutes.
Oh, my God. Yeah. She still, for some reason, thinks that she has a chance in hell. I think that she is just, you know, going to run out the clock and run out the money from her donors. When asked about Nevada, she said, well, what do we expect? We spent no money there, but I'm looking ahead to, you know, South Carolina, to Super Tuesday and the rest of them. I mean, Waj, like, why won't she leave the race?
Well, as of this recording, specifically about 40 minutes ago, Politico came out with a new Wisconsin poll that shows Trump tied with Biden and Haley ahead by 15 points. So I'm sure Haley sits there and thinks, you know what? Crime boss Trump, he might not last. He might not physically make it. He might be actually barred from running. He might be in jails. And guess who's going to be number two and snatch that MAGA crown? Me. So I think she's like, all right, my South Asian brother Vivek, he's gone. Tim Lord. Scott has become a heterosexual man who is engaged to a live female person. And apparently,
You say he's become heterosexual.
Oh, sorry. My bad. No, he is. I'm sorry. He is.
Right.
He has now eyeballs and teeth. And a face compared to the posters.
I'm a real boy.
Yeah, because if you remember, and we always bring it up on this show because we must, his own campaign had posters of him as an anonymous black shadow without eyeballs and teeth. So he's like, hey, all, I'm Tim Scott for Donald Trump. So the only other person left is Nikki Haley. So I'm thinking she's thinking there might be a chance. There might be a chance that they might love me. they might actually put me in. And I always like to remind folks that Donald Trump said Nikki Haley doesn't have the right complexion to be his VP. But she still thinks she can win the MAGA nomination, Danielle. And I keep telling her, look at what they make you give, Nikki. Look at what they make you give, and you still end up second to none of these candidates.
To none of these candidates. It's like they are embarrassing you out in public, and she's just trying to pretend like none of this is actually happening. that she's just going toe-to-toe with Donald Trump, and, you know, she's the woman in the race. It's honestly, it is a true... I guess what is it like an act of disassociation? Like I don't know. You know, I'm not a therapist, but this is what that looks
like. Well, that's what people of color are now in the MAGA party. I think you need a cognitive disassociation. They ain't talking about me. Well, they ain't talking about me. In this case, they are. They literally are talking about you, Nikki and Vivek. They literally are. But once you've given up and sold so much of yourself, your dignity, your people, your community, your worth, for the pursuit of power and greed, you get this. You get this. And this is a thing that I also want to underscore, which is one of the one of the diseases of the modern both sides discourse, is that she is not a moderate, Nikki, but she is posing. She's not a moderate, but she's posing as the moderate Nikki Haley to extremist Donald Trump. What moderation? What moderation? You tell me.
I mean, they still continue to say this on cable news all the time, like, well, as moderate Republicans think. And I'm like, who is that? Who is that? Who are you talking about? But they still like to create this persona as if she somehow is a softer alternative, when in fact we know that she is not.
Are they talking about the 60 moderate GOP House members?
I was just going to say, please tell... Because I tweeted this, Waj, about this point. So 60 Republicans, signed on to a letter that Donald Trump did not participate in an insurrection, because in their mind, there was no insurrection, right? Like this was a tourist event that just didn't get the right permits, according to the Republican Party. That's what January 6, 2021 was for them. And so they sign on to this letter to try and, you know, tip the scales of the courts that are hearing these cases on whether or not Donald Trump can appear on these ballots because of his participation in the insurrection and the 14th Amendment, which apparently the Constitution is neither here nor there. What I think is funny, though, and this is what I put out on the broke-ass Twitter earlier this week, is I said, so if 60 Republicans, 60 members of Congress sign on to a letter that said Donald Trump landed on the moon, does that make it so? Does that make it so?
And, you know, I'm glad we're spending time on this, because I also tweeted out on the broke-ass Twitter, now known as X, that this should be the biggest news of the week. And we're going to get to all the big news items. But I just want folks who listen to our show to just sit with this for a second. 60, not 16, not 6, 60 House Republicans led by Matt Gaetz and Elise Stefanik signed on to a letter saying that Donald Trump did not engage in an insurrection. That same violent insurrection led by Donald Trump and his cohorts that inspired and motivated MAGA nuts to attack the U.S. Capitol, which led to the injury of about, 150 police officers, led to the death of five folks, including one cop. That violent insurrection that thankfully failed, that we saw with our own damn two eyes, they said, no, that wasn't an insurrection. And those nuts, like, who was that lady who they make into a martyr who got radicalized by the QAnon?
Oh, the one that was... Wait, is this
who
the
got
one
shot
that,
and killed?
Who was shot and killed? I cannot remember her name.
Yeah, I mean, well, who cares? Let's not even name her.
Oh,
but
wow.
They referred to her as a martyr.
Yes.
Marjorie Taylor Greene refers to these. Ashley Babbitt. Okay, thank you, Q.
Thank you,
that's
Q.
Our producer, Q. He actually exists. Ashley Babbitt. They refer to Ashley Babbitt as a martyr. Marjorie Taylor Greene refers to these freaks as political prisoners. She refers to them as hostages. And I'm sitting here thinking, why is this not the number one news? That 60 of our elected officials who are cowering for their lives, being protected by the same Capitol Hill law enforcement that they threw under the bus, literally the 60 lawmakers and their allies and you know, fellow Republicans, who are running around calling their wives, thinking that they were going to be killed by the same base that they have radicalized. Remember Mr. Man, Josh Hawley, running away.
But then his fist.
But now here we are where all of them are like, no, no, no. He didn't engage in an insurrection. And these are also, by the way, it's just so exquisite. Constitutionalists who say, man, we have to read the original letter of the law. Meh. And you read the Constitution and the 14th Amendment very clearly bars anyone who leads a rebellion or insurrection from holding office. And also, these are the same Republicans who are all about states' rights. Meh. Now they're saying, how can Colorado and Maine kick off Trump from the ballot? Forget states' rights. Which just goes to prove, folks, they don't give a shit about the Constitution, about freedom, about democracy, about rule of law, about law enforcement. They're a right-wing authoritarian movement who just want power. And why do we tolerate it?
I have no idea. And I love the breakdown and the sound effects. The thing that I have to ask you, my friend, as a trained lawyer, is the argument that is being made by Trump's team, right, that is going in front of the Supreme Court, right, in a couple of days, is that the president is not an officer of the country, right? Like that when they were writing the Constitution and the 14th Amendment, and they said specifically that an officer of the country that commits, that participates in an insurrection cannot then hold office again. One of the arguments that is being made is that being president, you as commander in chief, you are not an officer of the country, nor did you swear an oath. Waj, I did not go to law school. You did. Make that argument make sense.
I can't, because he literally holds the executive office. He's the president of the United States of America. He swears an oath. And just because you are a president, or if you're a Supreme Court justice, or if you're a senator, that does not make you, at least in the United States of America, at least according to the law, at least according to the Constitution, if it matters, and clearly it's just Plato to Republicans, a dictator, an authoritarian. You're not above the law. It doesn't mean, you know, Supreme Court justice. I am a Supreme Court justice. I can kill someone. You can, but if we find the smoking gun, you're going to get indicted, and most likely you're going to get convicted and you're going to go to jail. And thankfully, we had a 3-panel judge in appellate court in Washington, D.C., two Democrat-appointed judges and one Republican-appointed judge unanimously say, Donald Trump, we have heard your bullshit, and verily, we reject this bullshit. You are actually citizen Trump, and you do not have, quote unquote, immunity just because you were president.
Right. And this is, I mean, it was unanimous. And what we know is that this is going to be either kicked to the full appeals panel, or just go, they're going to appeal it right up again to the Supreme Court, which Donald Trump has stacked. And, you know, the response, the 57-page response that the court put out said exactly that. So immunity, you know,
it should have been a one line. It should have just been this bullshit.
Right. But it's like, here, you immunity president. You get on the helicopter, you fly off of the South Lawn on inauguration day. You are no longer president. That helicopter is no longer Air Force One or Helicopter One or whatever. It's just a helicopter. So I don't understand. Again, I don't think, Waj, and you tell me, I don't think that the goal here is just to provide full blanket coverage for Donald Trump. I also think that the nefarious goal of these Trump attorneys is to just undo our laws, like just everything that we have not just like nodded and smiled at, but assumed to be true. Their goal is just to undo all of it. And as I believe that the attorney that is representing Trump in this 14th Amendment case, he's the one of the reasons why Roe v. Wade is overturned because of his initial case that he brought in Texas. I need to look up this man's name that he brought But that all of the cases that this one guy, and I have to find his name, that he is bringing up is all about undoing the law and getting rid of what he refers to as, quote unquote, judicial supremacy.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Because when the judiciary does its job and acts as a check, because we have a system of checks and balances, a separation of powers, then it is judicial activism. But when a majority of unelected judges in black robes decide to lie and undo a right that women have enjoyed, the right to privacy, then it's fine. That doesn't matter, even though the majority of the country is against it, right? So again, this, what we're witnessing, and I'm glad you're teasing this out, is a entire conservative movement and political party that is no longer beholden to the majority, is not beholden to the Constitution, is not beholden to the rule of law, is not beholden to democracy. It is beholden to Donald Trump, who has openly said that I'll be a dictator, but only for the day, only for a day, I'll be a dictator. And to quote Steve Bannon, what did he say was a strategy for media? Flood the zone with bullshit. And what is the strategy for any machinery or institution that tries to hold these people accountable? They throw sand in the gears. Look what's happening in Georgia with Fannie Willis, right? This bullshit about, I don't even want to repeat it, but like, whatever. Like, now this is the distraction from what is the real story, is that you kind of have Trump dead to rights on tape, trying to convince the Secretary of State, Brad Raffensperger of Georgia, to find the votes to give him Georgia. Right. Mm-hmm. But if you just put sand in the gears, you slow it down, you flood the zone with bullshit, you confuse people, then justice gets delayed. Both sides. Was it an insurrection? Were they actually political prisoners? Was it a inside job by the FBI? I don't know. Let's have on both sides to discuss. News at 11.
From the New Yorker staff writer Vincent Cunningham, a keenly observed novel of a young black man searching for his place in the world amidst a moment of historic change. Great Expectations is about David's 18 months working for the senator's presidential campaign. Along the way, David meets a myriad of people who raise a set of questions. Questions of history, art, race, religion, and fatherhood that forced David to look at his own life anew and come to terms with his identity as a young black man and father in America. Inspired by the author's experiences working on Obama's 2008 presidential campaign, Cunningham uses a political campaign as his narrative backbone. Great Expectations will be one of the talked about novels of the year, Colm McCann. Great Expectations is available wherever books are sold. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp.
You know, Danielle, as a 43-year-old man, I grew up in a generation where going to therapy was frowned upon. And my wife, and we have a great relationship, said, hey, let's go to couples therapy. I'm like, woman, what are you talking about? I will never go. Why? Are you unhappy? She goes, no, it'll improve our relationship, right? Then we went to couples therapy, and it made a good relationship great.
I love that for the both of you. And I can say, on just my personal experience, going one-on-one to therapy has really changed my ability to manage stress, has helped me do my job better, right? And be able to find gratitude to really, you know, become more nimble in terms of how I see the world, how I see myself and my role. And to have somebody that you can talk to has been a game changer.
And so if you're listening to us and you're really thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule.
Become your own soulmate, whether you're looking for one or not. Visit BetterHelp.com/democracy today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/democracy. Yeah. Here's what I want to say about what I said earlier. The lawyer is not who I'm referring to in the Trump case. It is this prominent conservative, what a legal scholar, and I use that tongue in cheek, J. Michael Luttig, who's a former judge on the U.S. Court of Appeals. He's the person that preempted and floated this idea around the president not being able to be indicted. I mean, not being able to be disqualified vis-a-vis the 14th Amendment. He also argued that I want to read what this says right here from Politico, which is that in recent months, thanks to the work of J. Michael Luttig, a prominent conservative legal scholar and former U.S. Court of Appeals judge, who together with the liberal law professor Lawrence Tribe promoted the idea that the 14th Amendment. Oh, he promoted the idea.
He's been the guy who actually has been trying to hold Trump accountable. He's been the guy that Mike Pence consulted. He was the man, if you remember, during the impeachment hearings, who came in and gave that stunning. People made fun of him for being so slow, but he was very deliberate. He's been the one who is the conservative who's tried to uphold the Constitution and rule of law.
He is not their friend. And so this is, I mean, I just think what is going to kill me, I guess, Waj, is that we don't know, like we think that this argument is absolute. You've said bullshit more in this episode than I think you've said the entire time we've ever recorded. And the thing is that it's a 50-50 toss up if the Supreme Court lets this argument stand from the Trump team.
Yeah.
Because of and this is not at all going to be based on the law or facts. It's just going to be based on Clarence Thomas, who has a billionaire sugar daddy, right? Kavanaugh, who was forced in by Trump and Mitch McConnell. Coney Barrett. Like, these are not people who are going to go, you know, really meticulously through the law. They've already made up their minds. So I just look at this and I'm terrified.
You know, they're trying everything. Cause if you remember last year, they tried some bullshit called the independent state legislature theory that would give them credence to enact their plan, their coup plan, by taking the election away from the people who are the ones in charge and then giving it to the right-wing hacks, who will then reject the electoral votes and then give it to their own appointed cronies, right? And Justice Luttig, again, the conservative retired judge, was the one who said, this is nonsense. This is, in his words, well, in my words, cliff noting what he said was bullshit. But it went to the Supreme Court, and you're sitting there, like, literally on, you know, pins and needles. Oh my God, this is clearly nonsense. This is clearly dangerous. But maybe the Supreme Court might actually side with a criminal, reckless, potentially illegal precedent just to give Trump power, right? Like, you don't know. And we've spent this episode talking about how this is nonsense, but we sit here, and if it does go to the Supreme Court, do you have faith in the Supreme Court to do the right thing, Danielle? Do you have faith in the Supreme Court to uphold the Constitution and rule of law for the sake of upholding our democracy? I do not. I do not.
And finally, for the love of God, Google is my friend. Trump's lead attorney is Jonathan Mitchell. And he is the one that has been trying to convince judges with this idea of part and parceling out. Oh, well, he's not really an officer. He's not really this. Like, the president is a king. Like, all of these little trip ups that are bringing these cases before serious judges that have no business being brought. And I think that what frustrates me is that it took the three panel judges in DC 3 weeks to make this decision that, like, again, I don't have a law degree and I shouldn't need one to know that what Donald Trump is doing, what these lawyers are doing, is malicious. And it is just like it's like death to democracy by 1,000 cuts.
That's exactly it.
To bleed us out.
And not just, you know, attacks on the judiciary, attacks on the rule of law, attacks on Congress folks. It is a word that we've brought up on the show that I want to, again, bring up: stochastic terrorism, that is now just accepted, right? The fact that we had McKay Coppins here, who was an author
and I mentioned this recently, he talked about how Romney told him and other conservatives who were off the record that they're afraid of their own base. Mm-hmm. They're afraid of their own base. And it's just a story that just, again, I want to bring up.
And tell them why they should be afraid of their own base.
Well, because their base wants to kill them. Here's another story that if it was a black man or a Muslim would be leading the news right now, but again, just lasted for a few hours. A man was arrested for trying to kill immigrants and federal law enforcement. He was plotting with militia members because he believed in the right-wing, quote-unquote, invasion conspiracy. So he wanted to go to the border and kill these immigrants and federal law enforcement. And they finally caught him, thankfully, and the plot did not go through. But he was using the rhetoric that is now all over right-wing media and being parroted by conservative lawmakers. And by the way, was used by Trump right before the 2018 midterm election. And right when that happened, folks, I got to remind you that Robert Bowers, a white man radicalized online, went and shot and killed 11 Jews at the Tree of Life Synagogue in Pennsylvania because he wanted to punish the invaders. And this keeps happening, Danielle, again and again and again. And also, I think we brought this up last week. It bears reminding, the judge told the jury, for your own safety, don't tell anyone that you were on served on, in this case.
But instead,
we keep taking it.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
From Foreign Policy, I'm Rina Ninen, the host of The Hidden Economics of Remarkable Women. Over the past few years, we've looked at how women around the world are changing societal norms to increase their economic power. This season, we're focusing completely on girls, how they're pushing for a brighter, more powerful future, and what the rest of us can do to set them up for success. Join us for stories about girl power, young women who are fighting for change, to give themselves a chance to live a life of their own choosing. That's season 6 of The Hidden Economics of Remarkable Women, wherever you get your podcasts.
Instead of the media, mainstream media, running with these stories that connect the dots of how violence in this country has been escalating over the last 9 years, they just pretend that these are still siloed acts of violence, that it's like, oh, that these people are not being brainwashed and hyped up on all of the lies. I mean, there was a caravan, right, that MSNBC just followed as they went to the border to see the invasion with their own eyes, and they rolled up their watch, and you know what they saw? Nothing. Mm. Nothing. They didn't see anything. And then they said, oh, we've been lied to. Shocker.
Well, the other news at 11 is Republicans have been running on border security, border security, border security. Democrats, and I've been critical of them on this, gave everything in that bill to them. And at the last second, failed. Even today, failed again. So here they are, and Democrats are like, all right, we'll take you up in your gambit, Republicans. We'll support this border security if it also includes aid to Ukraine. And Republicans are like, Donald Trump said don't do it because it'll make Biden look good, dead. Mm-hmm. And then also they tried to impeach DHS Secretary Mayorkas. But thank God for democracy, Republicans don't know how to count. So,
I mean, they did try and ban Sesame Street, so that would make sense that they didn't know how to count.
No, but tell us why they don't know how to count. What happened last night?
Because apparently they were too busy looking at what Democrats were doing on the other side and saying, what did Marjorie Taylor Greene say? That they hid people, they hid them, right? Because Congressman Al Green, came in at the last minute and was able to cast his vote, even though he literally came in like in hospital gown, like to cast the ballot after surgery to avoid this impeachment. And Marjorie Taylor Greene gets on TV talking about they hid people, blah, blah. Let me tell you something that Nancy Pelosi said this week on cable news when she was just like, you know, here's the thing about being speaker. You need to count. Like, you need to count your votes. You don't worry about the other side's votes. You need to count your own votes, which require you to actually whip those votes and have those votes, she said, already in your pocket before you go to the floor and embarrass yourself. And let me say, the funniest thing that I saw on the internet was a tweet that said Mike Johnson got so railed on the floor, his son got a notification. Because if you all remember, him and his son apparently check each other's pornography intake.
Which is totally normal thing to do.
With father-son activities. Not really.
That was gold. That was gold standard. This is where we're at, folks. This is where we're at. And this is why elections matter. This is why staying engaged matters. This is why showing up matters. This is why voting matters. This is why collaborating across communities matter, because we are dealing with a fundamental, legitimate, dangerous, violent threat, not only to our lives, but also to democracy. And we try our best every week to sound the alarm. But since I'm a brown man and Danielle's a black woman, instead of being treated like Paul Revere, they like shoot us. We're like, and like they always joke, like, we're like, hey, the British are coming, the British are coming. But if they saw us on horses, they'd be like, ah, look at those blacks and browns. And they'd shoot us. And as we're dying, we're like, we just wanted to help you. And we die. But the good news is some respect for the melanin, the proof that black don't crack. I wanted to end it on a positive note, is that America, especially the youth, discovered the beauty and genius of Tracy Chapman.
Ah, yes. That was honestly a gorgeous sight of the Grammys. I don't really watch award shows anymore because I am of the age where I'm like, who is that? What song is this? Who is that? What song is this? But when Tracy Chapman came out, it was beautiful, a beautiful sight to see. And now Fast Car is number one on iTunes after how many decades?
Like 30 years.
And it's awesome, right? So welcome to those who didn't know who Tracy Chapman was. Oh, friends, I don't know, Waj, but, you know, I don't know. thank you for listening to Democracy-ish. I'm Danielle Moody.
I'm Wajahat Ali.
And we will be back next week, if in fact we have a country left. Inshallah.